Good morning. I've tried to keep the room full by having the children in. Risk, yeah, that's what it is. But there we go. I think the children are well behaved, should I say. It's risky. I'm now preaching in front of my own two children, which I've never done before in my life. So there we go. Good morning, everybody. The last time I preached, it was on the opening chapter of Ruth, if you can remember that. I said I was hoping to do a series. This is number two. So I want to look in what God has got for us in Ruth chapter two. Before we start, though, I'd like to quickly cover the main points of chapter one, if you missed it or you don't know the story. At the beginning of chapter 1, a man named Elimelech, I can't pronounce that, led his wife Naomi and his sons to a foreign land called Moab due to a famine. In effect, back to the wilderness away from the promises of God. Then Elimelech sadly passed away, but Naomi didn't return home. Her sons grew up and took Moabite wives, and then they lived there in Moab. But then sadly, both her sons also died. Then Naomi heard that God had once again blessed her homeland. So she and her two daughters-in-law decided to head back to the promised land. Naomi, though, tried to persuade her daughters to go back to their families. Orpah eventually decided to do so. But then Naomi saw that Ruth had set her heart on going with her. She relented, and so the two of them travelled together to Bethlehem. And they arrived just as the barley harvest was about to begin. So I'm going to play a video now, which follows on from the video I played last time, which will cover chapter 2. So, Rai, if you're ready. Are we back recording, Rai?
Yeah.
Wonderful. What do you think about that? I'm going to unpack that a little bit now. So it was there for the children and for the adults. Okay. So at the very start of chapter 2, we have the introduction of the other major character in this story. And his name was?
Boaz.
He's described as being a wealthy and influential man who was a relative of Naomi's husband. It seems that Naomi, although related to a very rich man, had not asked him for help. I wondered why. Was it the culture of the time? Was it pride? I don't really know. But sometimes it's hard to ask for help, isn't it? Do you find it hard? I do. I think the culture of today is that we must all just accept how things are and get on with it. Maybe it was the same back when this story was told. But as Christians, do we have to act like that? Do we offer our help when we can? There's a good example of the art box, which has just started again. Do we hear the promptings of God when someone is in need and he lays that on our hearts? Sometimes it's easier to think that somebody else is either better qualified or in a better position to help that person and they will take care of it. But I want to suggest something to you, that if God has prompted you, that's for a reason. Not just for the person who you are being prompted to help, but for yourself as well. So what about Boaz? For his part, he had not offered any help. He knew Naomi was back, but he hadn't offered any help. But as we'll see, when he gets the opportunity, he takes it. Verse 2 says, one day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of the grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it. We know from chapter 1 that Naomi and Ruth arrived back just before the barley harvest, with nothing apart from the clothes on their backs. They had no money and no source of income. However, Ruth decided to do something about it. I do like this girl. Do you like this girl? You will do. She's got a get up and go attitude. And she's just not sitting around waiting things for just to change. But what about us? Are we sitting around waiting for things to just change? Or do we do something about it? Don't get me wrong here. There are times when it is best to sit and wait on God. God can give very clear instructions to stay exactly where you are. Once God gave me a specific picture, very, very clear, stay where you are. Even though circumstances suggested that I should take control and do something, I accepted what God said, and I can look back now and say, he knew best. And you know what? He always knows best. But on the other hand, I would like to suggest that some people are only just waiting, continually waiting. They're not seeking God. They're not actively seeking God about situations they find themselves in, eternally waiting for things to change. Sometimes we have to be proactive, just like Ruth. I want to suggest to you this morning that getting up and doing something to change our circumstances sometimes needs wisdom and discernment from elsewhere, not just from us. My advice is to pray that God will show you somebody who has those gifts. It's worked for me. I bounce stuff off Angela all the time. And other people I trust, like Pete and Andy and others. True, deep relationships are built on that sort of thing. We need to open ourselves up when we're in trouble. Don't be too independent. Don't be alone. Back to the story. In some translations, it says that Ruth was suggesting that she goes out to glean from the fields. In essence, to scavenge what leftovers she could find. How did she know there was something there? Leviticus 19, verse 9 to 10 says, when you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines, and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. So God's instructions to the farmers was to not completely harvest their fields. Why? Don't we answer? So the poor and the needy could come and glean the remains for themselves. They could work for the food and have a way for them to provide for their own needs with dignity. Verse 3. Naomi replied, all right, my daughter, go ahead. So Ruth went out to gather grain from the hut behind the harvesters. And so it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law. question. Do you think it was an accident that Ruth ended up in Boaz's field? I can see Jim. Was it an accident?
No.
No. I want to suggest this morning that Ruth came to that field because God was guiding her. She had sought Naomi's permission, and when that was given, had done something about it. This girl was behaving in a manner that showed respect and a willingness to serve. Ruth had decided to act, and God had guided her to Boaz's field, and she was now gleaning in it when Boaz arrived. Verse 4 to 7. I want to read now. While she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you," he said. "The Lord bless you," the harvesters replied. When Boaz asked his foreman, "Who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to?" And the foreman replied, "She is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She had been at hard work ever since, except for a few minutes' rest in the shelter." Would you like to work for a man like Boaz? I think I would. He greets his employees with a blessing, and he gets one back too. That speaks volumes. Some bosses I've worked for don't even say good morning. We already know that Boaz has provided a shelter, and a little later in the chapter it says Boaz provided food and water for his employees. It looks like things were very well organized, and he knows exactly what he wants. He's also prepared to get his hands dirty, to work alongside his men. I would say that all these factors gain Boaz the respect of his men. His foreman tells him who Ruth is, and then she'd asked to glean from the field this morning instead of doing it because she thought she had a right to, where it said in Leviticus. She still asked. She'd worked all morning, apart from a few minutes' rest in the shelter. The story of Naomi's return would have been known to Boaz, but he didn't recognise Ruth, as he had not met her yet. Now, this was his chance to help Naomi and Ruth, and he was not going to miss it. Verse 8 to 13. Boaz went over and said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us, and when you gather grain, don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. See which part of the field they are harvesting, and then follow them. I've warned the young men not to treat you roughly, and when that you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied. "But I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you have left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." "I hope I continue to please you, sir," she replied. "You have comforted me by speaking so kindly to me, even though I am not one of your workers." I think at this point, I would like to look at Boaz just a little bit closer. We already know that he was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem, but many people would not have behaved like that towards a foreigner. But in Matthew 5 it says this: Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. There's a history here. Salmon was a prince of Judah and was one of the two spies that Joshua sent to Jericho. Later, he married Rahab, the one-time harlot who had saved his life and hid him from the guards, then helped him escape. Rahab married into one of the leading families of Israel. So I'd like to suggest to you that Boaz had a unique understanding from his mother of what it was like to come from a lowly position and was taught to treat everybody with respect. So Boaz could relate to Ruth as a foreigner. Have you ever felt like a foreigner? That you don't quite fit in? Or have you experienced outright hostility? I experienced it when I first gave my life to Jesus and decided to follow him. My work colleagues at the time made some not very pleasant fun. Even my family, who would say they are Christians, didn't understand when I started coming to church. I wouldn't say it was outright hostility from them, but in the end, it caused arguments. I didn't even tell them I was going to get baptized. Cowardice, you could call it, and I would agree with you. But I've been a lot more upfront since. I believe God has given me a degree of grace and wisdom when to share and when not to share. And it's been 16 years now. And I think they recognise it ain't a passing fad. Sometimes we can all feel like foreigners. Sometimes in places and circumstances that we're all very familiar with. But I'd just like you to remember this. Remember in John 15, verse 18 to 19, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. That's the reason. But listen to what Boaz says. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. We are all under God's protection and his care. Verse 14 to 16. At mealtime, Boaz called to her, "Come over here and help yourself to some food. You can dip your bread in the sour wine." So she sat with his harvesters, and Boaz gave her some roasted grain to eat. She ate all she wanted and still had some left over. When Ruth went back to work again, Boaz ordered his young men, "Let her gather grain right among the sheaves without stopping her, and pull out some heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up and don't give her a hard time." Here, Boaz continued to show his generosity towards Ruth. He gave her more than enough food for herself, and Ruth, being the girl that she was, saved some for Naomi. He not only gave Ruth bread, but wine to dip it in as well. Boaz had advised Ruth to stop in his fields. Now he extends his protection even further. So now she can glean close to his workers. She'll have protection. She'll have companionship. And she'll have plenty of barley to glean. Ruth's humility, her love and care for her mother-in-law, her respect and hard work was rewarded. She received more than she deserved or could ever have dreamed of when she set off just that morning. That is what God has done for me. That is what God can do for you. God's grace is amazing, isn't it? We don't deserve it. Yet he gives it to us freely. If and when we accept Jesus into our lives. We had it this morning. Bread. And wine to dip it in. Extra. Verse 17 to 19. So Ruth gathered barley there all day and then went to beat out the grain that evening. It filled an entire basket. She carried it back to town and showed it to her mother-in-law. Ruth also gave the roasted grain that she had left over from her meal. "Where did you gather all this grain today?" Naomi asked. "Where did you work?" "May the Lord bless the one who helped you." So Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man in whose field she had worked. She said, "The man I work with today is named Boaz." Ruth had worked all day. It wasn't just that she had to stoop all day and pick up the grain. She had to thresh it and carry the grain home. I'm not sure that she would have ever done anything like that before. From the context of her background, I presume not. She blessed Naomi with the leftover food as well. That's why I like this girl. Naomi is so surprised that Ruth had such a successful day, she's full of questions. But first, she blesses the man who helped her. I remember Andy bringing a word or a part of a preach when he said that sometimes our prayers are a bit self-focused. God already knows what we want, what we want to ask for. But I remember Andy saying that maybe there should be more thankfulness in our prayers. I think that was right, Andy, wasn't it? You should listen to your own preachers more. Here, Naomi gets straight to it. "May the Lord bless him," Naomi told her daughter-in-law. "He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives. He one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth said, "What's more, Boaz even told me to come back and stay with his harvesters until the entire harvest is completed." "Good," Naomi exclaimed. "Do as I said, my daughter. Stay with these young women right through the whole harvest. You might be harassed in other fields. You'll be safe with him." So Ruth worked alongside the women in Boaz's field and gathered grain with them until the end of the barley harvest. Then she continued to work with them through the wheat harvest in early summer. And all the while, she lived with her mother-in-law. That's the end of chapter 2. But remember, Naomi is the same woman who wanted to call herself Mara, or bitter. Now she's called on the Lord to bless Boaz twice in as many sentences. God has started to turn things around. And she was being thankful, not only to Boaz, but to God. God's generosity didn't end with one day. Boaz had told Ruth to come and glean through an entire barley harvest and then the wheat harvest as well. More and more blessings. So I'd just like to recap some of the points that I've made, if you've missed them. Don't let pride get in the way of asking for help. Give aid if God lays it on your heart. Don't be too independent. Pray and ask God to guide you in the right direction. Boaz earned the respect of his workers and with integrity. Choose carefully who you follow. Ruth was proactive. When the time came, she acted, but in the right way and with humility. Sometimes we can feel like foreigners, sometimes in places and circumstances that we're all very familiar with. But remember, God is always there. He was there for Ruth and Naomi through Boaz. He's there for you, and not just for one day, for always. Remember what he has done for you and the many blessings he has bestowed upon you. That's the end of my preach. I'd just like to pray for us, if that's okay. Yes, Lord, as we've met this morning, Lord, and the children have been in, and they've heard something, what the adults hear every week, Lord, I hope that's been a blessing to them. I pray that we're not too independent, that we can rely on you, that you're the one that we can turn to when we're in these circumstances. And that you can come through for us. I know you can. And those that are in difficult circumstances now, please lay that on their heart, that they can ask you and others in this room and elsewhere for advice and guidance. Amen.